On the very first episode of The Big Number, Dan Devine and I talk about centers shooting threes in the preseason, and we dig into the numbers to see if it will have any meaningful impact on the regular season and playoffs. That's coming up next. I'm Tom Haberstroh, and you're watching my new podcast. It's called The Big Number, and I'm going to be doing it with my guy, Dan Devine, every week on Thursdays. It is going to be bigger and better than The Big Number of years past, where I would just like take 2 to 3 minutes and just hit you over the head with a really cool stat that's going to teach you a lot about the NBA game. We're going to do that not just for 2 to 3 minutes. We're going to do this for 20, 30, 40 minutes every week on Thursdays, and basically, we're going to take an underrated storyline, the biggest story in the NBA no one's talking about, and I'm going to give you the most important stat behind it, and we're going to basically go deep. Dan is going to let me know if he co-signs it or if he's like, no, you're crazy. So, Dan, are you ready for this week's big number?
I'm extremely ready. I love that you have set up a dynamic whereby if I'm just an inveterate hater, it helps the show. Like yes. I get to just be like, I think your math is dumb and here's why. And so I'm very excited for the opportunity to try to poke holes in the big number.
Yeah. Dan Devine, noted anti-science, noted anti-mathematics person, zealot over here. So yes, Dan, we've got a big number this week that I think everyone is kind of tangentially talking about, but we're going to go deep on this. This week's big number is 79%, as in 79% of stretch fives who start launching three-pointers in the preseason, they end up reverting back to their norms. Historically, most of the time, it is one big tease. So to me, this is one of the biggest storylines heading into the 2024-25 season. And Dan, our guy, Kevin O'Connor, in his column 36 big, bold predictions. Number 10 on the list was many bigs will suddenly become three-point shooters. And to which I say, well, I want to believe, but I don't think that the history backs that up, is that we always hear this time of year that this new three-point shot from this center is going to light the world on fire. And this year you're seeing it from Bam Adebayo, who's slinging it like prime Ray Allen, or Anthony Davis slinging it like bubble Anthony Davis. Derek Lively from the Dallas Mavericks has taken a three-point shot this preseason, and now everyone's getting excited. There's so many three-point shots being furled up by centers now, and I'm kind of wondering, is this real? Is this legit? And I did some research. Only 1 in 5 actually maintain their preseason levels or stay close to it over the last 3 preseasons. Looking at centers who take a lot more threes, it's mostly a mirage. So as much as we like to think, Dan, that these 7-footers shooting threes like they're Dirk Nowitzki or, you know, Miami Chris Bosh, more often than not, it is mostly trick, not a treat. That is a Halloween reference because it's right around the corner. So even though I want to believe that Bam Adebayo is going to shoot 5.8 three-pointers every 36 minutes, I kind of feel like it's most likely he will revert back to just 0.6 threes like he took last regular season per 36 minutes, or the 2 threes that he took in the postseason. And I think most of this is just a preseason mirage. Okay, when we get back, Dan is going to offer me his thoughts on the matter and tell me if my math is bogus. Okay, Dan, so I just kind of gave you my big number, the opening salvo here. I'm kind of throwing cold water on this three-point revolution from the center position. Do you agree with me? Do you think that this is mostly a flash in the pan, a preseason mirage? Or do you think Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, Isaiah Hartenstein, DeAndre Ayton is another name? Do you think these guys are going to be maintaining this preseason pace? What say you?
Well, as someone who, and you know this about me, I have added 15 pounds of muscle every offseason. I want to play faster. We're going to play more random basketball when I'm on the court. You know, insert whatever preseason thing that coaches say about their team every single year. I believe this. I fully believe it. I'm totally on board for the idea that all these guys are going to keep it up. Their pace is going to keep skyrocketing, and everyone is going to do exactly what they said they were going to do in the preseason before the live bullets start flying. Just like everybody maintains all of their New Year's resolutions. Yes. You know, we all do exactly what we profess to do. I think, well, first off, I also love going back to the idea of inveterate hating. We're starting this by hating on KOC. This is beautiful. Kevin's predicting that everybody's going to stretch, and we're saying, no, shrink fives. They're going to get smaller. They're going to reduce and tighten up. I love this as a premise,
I think what I'm saying, Dan, is KOC is going to be right, but maybe not necessarily to the extent that we think in the preseason. Like I do think it's possible that Bam Adebayo starts taking more threes, but I don't think it's going to be like he's turning into Brook Lopez, right?
Well, so that was maybe a good entry point here, because when you mentioned, and in your study, you found that 1 in 5 of the, you know, purported stretch fives actually maintains their pace. Can you tell me a little bit about the ones, like who are the players who have actually maintained that uptick over the course of time?
Okay, so they're not big names. You're probably in your mind, you're like, oh, it's going to be like Jokic or Brook Lopez, Chet Holmgren. No, this is the list that I have here. It's Drew Eubanks. It's Isaiah Stewart. So Beef Stew also had a increased 3-point shot that actually maintained. Orlando Robinson with the Miami Heat, the great legendary Orlando Robinson, and Alperen Şengün over with Houston decided to, you know, take more threes, which was kind of a new thing for him. I believe it was last year when he took 2.8 threes per 36 minutes and then roughly maintained that in the regular season. But more often than not, Dan, you see players, yes, increase slightly, but I think that's probably more due to the fact that every year more threes are being taken, especially from the center spot, where there is a real potential this year for maybe a different variable at play. The Boston Celtics winning the championship, the 5-out system with Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford. On Tuesday night, they just took a bazillion threes. They tied the all-time record for most threes made in a game. And so, yeah, there's only 1 in 5 in the previous 3 seasons that maintained their preseason levels in 3-point shooting. 11 out of the 19 increased slightly or maintained. 3 stayed equal, and 5 out of the 19 players, the stretch fives in the preseason that showed a new level of 3-point rate, 5 of them actually declined. So some of these guys are actually just like getting this out, coughing it up, and then just being like, the coach being like, no, you're not shooting that much in the regular season. We're not doing that anymore. So I think it's interesting. More actually declined their 3-point rate after these big spikes in the preseason than maintained it.
Well, you've given me a lot of information and facts. Let me talk a little bit more about vibes. No, let me go back to the Orlando Robinson and Beef Stew component of it, because they, I think both of them, for different reasons, point us toward Bam Adebayo, right? Orlando Robinson, obviously, you know, Miami, maybe there is a sort of an organizational impetus to say, you know, we understand this is something that we might want to engage with our bigs. You know, Thomas Bryant is also a name, a stretch big that has, you know, increase his 3-point rate over time, or as that's been something that has been part of his game, now part of the Miami Heat organization. Maybe that's something that they're thinking about there. The Isaiah Stewart component, though, the main reason to do it there is we've got, like, that congested, brutal half-court offense in Detroit. It's like, we got to find some ways to create space. We've got to have some more people who, even if they can't totally shoot, are shooting. And I think that's the point of interest with Bam. I am actually buying Bam Adebayo's increased 3-point attempt rate, because it isn't just a preseason concoction. It started last year.
Yep.
He had only, through the first 542 games of his career, and Tom, I got numbers too. Through the first 542 games of his career, he had attempted 82 threes. Starting March 13th last season against the Nuggets, who've got a stretch five that Bam has seen an awful lot of over the years, he attempted 38 threes over his final 21 games. So it's about 1.8 a game, up from 0.2 before that. So we already started the increase at the end of last season. And then it continues with the Olympics, and it continues into the scrimmages, and it continues into preseason. So I don't think that it's necessarily, I wouldn't be surprised if it dipped from the 5.8 per 36 or whatever. Like, yeah, he's probably not going to start replicating like Karl-Anthony Towns in terms of his 3-point attempt rate. But I think that Miami knows, with Jimmy Butler, with some of their slashers, Jaime Jaquez, with, you know, some of the lineups they put on the floor, they need, and how rough their half court offense has been, they need another answer for creating space. And I think that kind of like sicko mind meld of Bam and Eric Spoelstra, I think if Spo is kind of like, this is what we need, I think Bam's going to go do it. I think that's kind of the way they operate. And, you know, courtesy of our guy Cooper Moorhead at Heat.com, you know, you always used to see down there in Miami, for us to try and grow this game, grow our success, it's better for us to space the floor, said Adebayo. So I think he's looking at it like, in that Stewart component, this is a means to an end for our offense, not just like Bam wants to get X percent better, but this is how our offense works. I would buy that Bam is going to keep that up in terms of this, like the general geography of how the Heat have to map the floor.
Yeah, totally. And I'm glad we can kind of, I think Bam Adebayo is the biggest story here, right? Is like, what happens if Bam Adebayo turns into Brook Lopez, turns into Kristaps Porzingis? Or here's the baseline. What we're talking about here is Kristaps, Brook Lopez, Karl-Anthony Towns, Miles Turner, Al Horford, Chet Holmgren. They all take between 5 and 6 3-pointers every 36 minutes. And that's roughly what we're seeing in the preseason with Bam Adebayo. And it was this like point of contention years ago. I think when Bam started like flirting with the idea of a 3-point shot, it annoyed some of the people with the Miami Heat of how much the media and the public was talking about it, right? They were like, they even called it an obsession, that people were like obsessed with Bam Adebayo shooting threes. And now the tone has completely changed. Eric Spoelstra is now advocating for Bam Adebayo to not just take 1 or 2 threes a game. He acknowledged a couple weeks ago that Bam Adebayo, some games, he's going to take 5 to 7 3-pointers. And sometimes it'll be 2, but sometimes it'll be 5 to 7. And now you're seeing Bam Adebayo reiterate that in press conferences, being like, hey, Spo wants me to take 5 to 7, you know? So let's go. And it's important to think of this not in a vacuum of 3-point shot. You also have to remember is that what they're doing, or what I think the transition is a trade-off between Bam Adebayo taking mid-range jumpers or 3-point shots. Because, Dan, here's the math. Bam Adebayo last year took the equivalent of 3 3-pointers a game, shooting at 22%. That's the math. In the mid-range last year, he took 3 mid-range shots a game, and he made those mid-range shots at 34%. Okay? That is trash. That is garbage. No coach is going to advocate for someone to have, on average, 0.68 points per shot. But right, that's what it equates to. When you have a mid-range jumper that is only going in 34% of the time, that's the equivalent of a 3-point shot going in 22% of the time. And you know, people would be rioting in South Beach. People would be going nuts and throwing chairs through windows if they knew that Bam Adebayo was taking 3 3-pointers a game at 22%. But that's where the math works out, is that he was doing that just in terms of efficiency in the long two area. And now I think Eric Spoelstra is looking at this being like, hey, if we can take some of those mid-range shots, they're only getting 0.68 points per shot, and move it to the 3-point line, I'd rather that. And so he took a couple over Victor Wembanyama in the corner, the left corner. He switched over Victor Wembanyama. My favorite thing in the preseason is Eric Reed, the voice of the Miami Heat, going, instead of his kaboom, he goes, kabam! And nice.
Perfect. Chef's kiss.
It's perfect. It's perfect. So Eric Reed saying kabam a lot more. I like it, but I do think that it might be a little, we're getting a little excited, right? We're getting a little excited over our skis a little bit to think that Bam is going to be at 6 with the rest of those names that I put out there. But I do think he needs to cut down on those mid-rangers, man.
Well, that's been one of the big shifts. And, you know, shouts out to our guy, Seth Partnow, his book, The Mid-Range Theory, that general idea of the mid-range isn't gone. It's just become really the province of superstars who can make those shots like layups, right? You know, the Kevin Durant, the Devin Booker, the Chris Paul, those sorts of players who at extremely high level, Jalen Brunson last year, guys that where they're going to be able to generate 1 point a shot on those. That's where the math kind of tilts back in their favor. But if you are a role player or a big man, it's like you need to either be at the rim or behind the arc, because that's where the math works out. You know, you mentioned the Celtics with their absolute, you know, like beatdown of the Knicks on opening night. The 3-point attempt rate for them is just skyrocketing. It was the league leading, I think like 44.7% last year, up over 55% in preseason, 64% on opening night. And Wired for Sound, or, you know, Audio Assist, the, I think it's TNT's version of that, had Jaylen Brown during the game saying to the guys on the bench, twos won't beat us. Like, it's, you know, rebound and get out to the 3-point line. Force them inside the line. Twos won't beat us. It's, and it is as simple as it gets. That calculation for on a team level is what propelled the Celtics to, you know, an elite offense and the championship last year. For the big men that we're talking about, it's a matter of, like, if you are not standing, you need to either be standing in a good place for the offense or get out of the way. And, you know, six is an interesting number. It's not the big number today, but it's an interesting one, because six reminds me of something I heard last year from Darvin Ham, which was, let me get the exact quote right as we go through our research here on the big number. It was, I want him, if he can, I know he won't do it, but maybe he'll shock me, but I've requested to see three-point attempts a game, three per half at least. I wouldn't put that on him if I didn't think he was capable. He was talking, of course, about Anthony Davis, who then proceeded to shoot 6 3-pointers in a game twice all of last season. Darvin Ham, perhaps not coincidentally, is no longer on the sidelines for the Los Angeles Lakers.
It is so great to start that quote with, he's not going to listen to me.
Yeah, right. Maybe we could have ended it there. Maybe we didn't need to keep going, coach.
I know I'm not going to get through to my star player, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's a big red flag. It's a big red flag. And yeah, you're right. Is that Anthony Davis proceeded to not take that many in the regular season. I think his rate was 1.4 last year. And I do think, Dan, he is the cautionary tale. He is a habitual teaser when it comes to the 3-point shot in the preseason. Like, this dude loves launching threes in the preseason, getting us all excited. Like, we're Tommy Callahan sitting down at lunch with Helen, talking about chicken wings, trying to get the chicken wings to get going. And the 3-point shot with Anthony Davis is like the possible sale. It's like the JoJo, the idiot circus boy, with this pretty new pet. I'm going to pet it. I'm going to massage it. And I'm going to nudge it. And I killed it! I killed my 3-point shot! Anthony Davis is killing the 3-point shot every year. We do this 3 years in a row. He thinks he's going to go and take threes. And then all of a sudden, he drops it. And I think, look, will JJ Redick have the influence and be able to get Anthony Davis to take more 3-point shots to improve the spacing of the Lakers? So here's a quote from JJ Redick a couple weeks ago. That's something he's worked on, the 3-point shot, being a more consistent shooter, and not just more consistent in his normal areas, but consistent from deep range and not hesitating, not overthinking it. So if he's got a good look, we've all encouraged him to put it up. And Anthony Davis echoed that. He said, we talk about getting more threes up. Obviously, it's been a point of emphasis, and the way the league has shifted, a lot of threes, but they all come in rhythm. We just want to be confident in our shots and let it fly. Dan, that is actually not from 2 weeks ago. That is from last year. Okay. These talking points happen every year with Anthony Davis. It also happens with Isaiah Hartenstein. It happens with Alex Len. It happens with Andre Drummond. And those names are the four in that 1 in 5 stat. That 4 in 5 doctors or dentists prescribe this tube of toothpaste. The 4 out of the 5 that don't maintain are these habitual teasers. Anthony Davis, Isaiah Hartenstein, Andre Drummond, Alex Len, these stretch fives that get kind of, I don't know, cold feet during the regular season, or their coaches are like, your ass is on the bench if you take another 3-point shot. For whatever reason, they are teasers. So We've talked about Bam and Anthony Davis. The one that I think we're both very curious about, Isaiah Hartenstein.
Mm.
What are your thoughts on him? Because, yeah, he's out with a fractured finger, fractured hand on his left hand. And he has been talking about throughout his career how he does have this three-point shot. And maybe in OKC, we're going to finally see it.
We're going to go back to a quote from April of 2022 when he was with the Clippers. This is from the Orange County Register. The big thing that kind of pisses me off sometimes when I look is when people don't do their research about some stuff. Listen, Isaiah, we've done our research about some stuff. All right. I promise we're going to have a dialogue here, and it's going to be informed by numbers and research. Hartenstein has the background of, he came up through the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, the G League, the Rockets, like, famed laboratory, Nick Nurse and all the other mad scientists down there, Chris Finch, et cetera, deciding we're going to jack up the pace and we're going to shoot a billion threes. Isaiah Hartenstein, I think he hit eight threes in a G League finals game. Like,
he made eight threes in a, wow.
I believe it was 2019 game two, if I've got that right, of the G League finals. He was G League finals MVP, putting up, you know, monster numbers. And
that's like Corey Brewer making, scoring 50 points in a game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, if he, you know, the Pokemon evolution of Corey Brewer until he was like a gigantic Corey Brewer. Now, you know, if we can get some Photoshops out there, you know, a gigantic Corey Brewer, that'd be great for me personally. Or, you know, and a committed artist who wants to draw,
by the way,
Corey Brewer as an evolved Pokemon. That'd be great.
He's already gigantic Corey Brewer.
That's, you know, a great point.
Like, think about
relative
it.
Relative to, yes.
Yeah. Like, if you saw Corey Brewer down the street, you'd be like, that guy is gigantic.
That's a big dude. Yeah.
Extra gigantic Corey Brewer is what we're saying.
That's exactly right. So artists, please get on that. The Hartenstein thing, though, so he said that during the end of his time at with the Clippers, goes to the Knicks, shoots some threes in his first year there, but really, like, develops into the most successful version of himself in New York when he becomes much more of an elbows and in player, attacking the offensive glass, being a dribble handoff hub, high post sort of deliverer of passes. I think he took all of, like, three threes all of last year and had maybe the best season of his career, gets this giant check to go to Oklahoma City, become part of their organization. And that's where the rubber's going to meet the road here. Oklahoma City's offense went nuts last year because they played five out. Chet Holmgren, obviously a massive part of that, but also, like, Jalen Williams, the other big Jalen Williams, being a stretch five, playing small ball with Kenrich Williams as, like, a stretch five. Pretty much everybody they put in at the center spot was going to be spaced out. That was the way they were going to create all those driving lanes for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams and et cetera. So then you bring in Hartenstein and it's like, well, now there's a way that can all work with him being that dribble handoff hub, with him spacing to the dunker spot, with him spacing to the corner and crashing. There's other ways it can work. But the easiest way for it to work is if he does take more of those shots, and he's capable of it. He's shown in the past being capable of it. But I will be, and I wonder if the injury winds up, you know, impeding it at all too, because as you mentioned with some of those backup players, you know, your Alex Lenz, guys like that, there's a component of, like, yeah, you're stretching your game, but if you want to keep getting minutes, if you want to keep getting opportunities, if you want to be the best version of yourself for the team, sometimes that means not expanding in that direction. Like, Bam expanding in that direction might very well be the best thing for the Heat offense. Anthony Davis is an interesting point because, as, you know, we talked about the things that he does every preseason, he always asks for a center to play next to him. He always says he's going to shoot some more threes. And it turns out the best thing for Anthony Davis to do 9 times out of 10 is to play the five and roll his ass to the rim where nobody can stop him from shooting 80% and absolutely dominating, like, hypothetically, the Rudy Gobert-led Minnesota Timberwolves on opening night. So for Hartenstein, that push-pull, or is it going to be better served for the Oklahoma City offense for you to actually space and shoot, or for you to be the answer to the question of, like, how do we get offensive rebounds, which is the one of the only things we weren't good at last year? You know, how do we create more passing opportunities in the half court when it's not with Chet? Like, I think that that push-pull of, we're trying to find the most efficient version of our offense. And a lot of times that's as many threes as possible. But it's by, I think with some of these centers, it's, are you the one that's actually going to create the highest efficiency looks there? I think that's, and he's going to be an interesting test case, I think.
So Dan, I'm glad you brought this up, is the idea of, like, should you be taking those threes, right? Are you better positioned to be attacking the rim or being the hub of the offense in the high post like Isaiah Hartenstein really can for the Oklahoma City Thunder? It reminds me of the Jeff Goldblum quote in Jurassic Park, who's like, you, all you scientists, you spend all your time wondering if you could, but maybe you should have spent more time wondering if you should. And I think that's kind of where I'm at with Isaiah Hartenstein, because I do think that there's one thing that he's taken threes. Hey, y'all don't know. I have receipts. I've taken threes before. Question is whether you made them.
Yeah.
You know? So in 230 career three-point shots across NBA and G League levels, he shot 28% in the G League and 31% in the NBA. And so that's 200 plus shots of a sample size. Should he be taking threes for the Oklahoma City Thunder? Maybe if you have Chip Englund on the staff in OKC, the shot guru, the shot whisperer from the San Antonio Spurs, who's now on the Thunder staff, who's working on, you know, making sure that all the shooters are going to be basically prime Manu Ginobili out there with the Spurs. I do think there's a little potential for Isaiah Hartenstein to be more efficient than he showed in the past, or at least with the Knicks and at previous stops. But there's this other element that we should talk about briefly here. Respect. Okay. It's one thing to take three-pointers. It's another for defenses to respect your three-point shot. And that's where the level just improves. That's where the power of being a stretch five comes in, is that Brook Lopez, before he is actually known as a good three-point shooter, they're still camping out in the paint, right? They're still clogging the paint because they don't respect him as a three-point shooter. They're not closing out hard. But if Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis and Isaiah Hartenstein and DeAndre Ayton, if they're being treated like three-point shooters and they're getting the respect, the gravity of pulling their center defender out of the paint, that's where the magic happens. If you are just shooting 32% from downtown and they're just giving you that shot, it's a waste. It's not actually improving the offense. It's just kind of empty calories. So for me, for Isaiah Hartenstein or any other aspiring Brook Lopez's out there, you got to be able to get the respect from the defense. And without that respect, it's kind of empty. Yeah, you might be shooting 33% or 34%. And you might be hitting those threes, but the real power comes when you're able to space the floor like Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford do, and there's nobody in the paint. All right, Dan, we're going to break here, but right after that, we're going to do some over-unders. We're actually going to put ink to paper here on some of these three-point slinging centers and see if we're going to go over or under certain three-point marks right after the break here. All right, Dan, we're going to go and talk about these over-unders. We're going to go through them. Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, Derek Lively. Let's throw that in there. Sure. Isaiah Hartenstein. And one last one, kind of want to debate real quick with you, DeAndre Ayton. We're going to do a DeAndre Ayton over under here on his 3-point shot because he's 3 of 4 in the preseason. I've watched them all because I am the Portland Trailblazers TV broadcaster extraordinaire, breaking down DeAndre Ayton's 3-point shot on a regular basis. Last year, I was pointing out this dude is automatic from 15, 16 feet at the top of the key. Shot 51%, which is third in the NBA on mid-range attempts with at least 200 shots in the mid-range. Only Michael Porter Jr. and Kevin Durant were more efficient from the mid-range than Bam Adebayo. DeAndre Ayton. Only two players were more efficient in the mid-range than DeAndre Ayton. But still, if you're 51% in the mid-range, you only have to make 35% to be break-even in terms of efficiency. So that's kind of the math there that we're talking about. And I do think DeAndre Ayton has some real potential to be a knockdown three-point shooter. But what I like to refer back to, you know, what coaches say is like the mentality change of like a guy like DeAndre Ayton, who's shooting 55, 60% from the floor. Can they psychologically wrap around their head around the idea of being like 45, 50% shooting? Because if you are going to take more three-point shots, your field goal percentage is going to go down. And I'm wondering the psychology of someone like Bam Adebayo, of DeAndre Ayton, that is going to try to take 3-4 more three-pointers a game, and it's going to drag their field goal percentage, which is why, basically, Dan, we need to just go with effective field goal percentage. Just go with that.
That's a really good point. I had the human component of it is like, Maybe Bam Adebayo is a little bit more willing to have his field goal percentage go down now that he's got the 3-year full max extension. Like, you know, what you lock that in, the absolute top dollar, and you're like, yeah, okay, my numbers can go down for a little bit. That's totally fine. Maybe DeAndre Ayton. Forever a coin flip and a wild card, DeAndre Ayton, a player who has been paid. He's got his max extension off of his rookie deal, is happy to let you know that he's a max player. But also occupies a very interesting spot for Portland, where it's like, they did just draft a top 10 center behind you, and there's also Robert Williams sitting there. And so I wonder, is DeAndre Ayton a more attractive candidate for someone to go get if he so starts showing that he's a stretch shooter, right? Like, does changing his game in that way, taking that step back, is there an incentive for him and for the Blazers to encourage it this time around? It is a big number podcast, but also sometimes big feelings that go into these things too. And the soft skills and human interactions, maybe nobody better to encapsulate that than DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah. Big emotions. That's what this podcast is going to be going forward. Big emotions with DeAndre Ayton. Okay. So I think your intuition's right on that. He's kind of a wild card. He can go either way. And I feel like I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. DeAndre Ayton's going to be an elite 3-point shooter now. Sure. And the other thing is Donovan Klingon is taking 3-pointers in the preseason in ways that he didn't show at UConn. So it's kind of up and down the roster. They're all trying to be Dwop Wreath, my guy. So
aren't we all?
We're all trying to be Dwop Wreath. He's my favorite player in the NBA, just slinging it from downtown. Okay, Dan. Let's do some over-unders here.
Yes.
I'm going to set the over-under at halfway between last season's three-point rate and this preseason three-point rate. So for Bam Adebayo, 3.2 three-point attempts per 36 minutes. Are you taking the over or the under?
Over. I believe the things that I said earlier, and I think that Bam Adebayo has been building to this. I think it's not going to get all the way up to 5.8, but 3.2, give me the over.
Okay. I've got a Sharpie here. You are taking the over on Bam.
Oh, no!
Yep. Bam Adebayo over. Guess what? I'm taking the over as well. Over yes. on Bam Adebayo. That is my 1 in 5 for this stat. Is the big number is 79%. 79% fail to maintain. 20% do. Bam Adebayo is my 20%. DeAndre Ayton, 1.5 three-point attempts every 36 minutes. 1.5. What say you?
I'm going to go a hard under there. While I believe that all things are possible through DeAndre Ayton and the magic of his brain, he also went 1 for 10 from three in about 1,800 minutes last year. So I don't see that happening. I'm going to go hard under on DeAndre.
I'm going to say under as well, not because I don't think he can do it. I think he can do it, but I do think he's so good in the mid-range, he's going to stick there in his comfort zone. Anthony Davis, 3.7. Is it finally going to happen? 3.7 three-point attempts per 36 minutes over under, Dan.
History and precedent indicate that I should go under here. But, you know, it's early in the season. I just watched him dominate. Hope springs eternal. I'm going over. He went 1 for 3 from three on opening night. All he's got to do is do one more of those. Apparently, J.J. Redick's got a theory about how to unlock his jumper. Anthony Davis is confident in it. Let's ride that confidence in those theories into practical, cold, hard, theoretical cash in terms of cashing that over.
All right, I'm going to go under on that. He took 3 in opening night. I think it's going to be right around there, under 3.7. Derek Lively, big bar to clear, very tall bar to clear here. 0.3 attempts per 36 minutes, which is basically like every 3 games, he is going to take a 3-point shot. Derek Lively, the second over there in Dallas. What do you think?
Man, when you put it that way, he's just only got to take like 1 every 3 games. You know what? I'm going to go under on it. They got Klay Thompson for that. They made a whole signing and did a whole big thing to get more guys that can shoot threes. Derek Lively, you go on the off chance that they miss, you go hoover that up. That's the best way that you can hang on to this, keep us at an elite offensive rate. You go do that. So I'll go under on Derek Lively, but would be very happy to be proven wrong because the stroke has looked pretty good in the limited times I've gotten to see it.
Derek Lively, the second, the 2. I'm going to say he's going to stick to 2-pointers this year. Under on Derek Lively for me. Isaiah Hartenstein, do your research. Isaiah Hartenstein, 0.4 for the Oklahoma City Thunder, 0.4 per 36 minutes. What say you, Dan?
I mean, if y'all really did y'all research, y'all would know. I'm going over. I'm saying that the Chip Engelin effect, the overarching general vibe of what Oklahoma City wants to be and how they want to play, I think he's going to fit into that. And I think he's going to wind up cresting to get up to, you know, a three-pointer a game. I think that's going to be coming for him. I'm going to go over.
I love it. I'm going to go Isaiah Hartenstein is going to go under. I think they want Isaiah Hartenstein to be Isaiah Hartenstein. They don't need him to be Chet Holmgren. So I think they're going to try to emphasize, look, man, just do what you do. Do what Isaiah does. Okay. So you're going over on Bam, over on AD, over on Isaiah Hartenstein, and under on DA and Derek Lively. I'm going under on all of those except for Bam Adebayo. That's going to do it for this episode of The Big Number, the first episode of The Big Number. Dan, that was a real joy. I really like doing the research, following Hartenstein's lead and making sure that we do our homework. We show our work. We're going to do research on this. Oh, God, I'm getting all choked up. It's, I don't know, I just had a thing in my throat.
It's a big emotions with Tom Haberstroh.
Yeah, I'm getting it's a little dusty in here. Thank you so much, Dan, for joining me and being the co-pilot here as we go through The Big Number, which is now bigger than ever. Hey, producer John, thank you so much and the entire Yahoo Sports team for working hard behind the scenes and making this not just a 2-minute show, but a 20, 30, 40 minute podcast, which you can find every Thursday on Yahoo Sports. Make sure you subscribe and get your Big Number as soon as they're fresh and ready every week. Thanks so much, everybody.